Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The sixth station of the cross. Slowly, the people in the cathedral turn from the bas-relief portrayal of a scowling and reluctant Simon helping Jesus carry his cross. And they move on to the next station. A woman kneels before Jesus. She is looking up into his face, and her hands hold a white cloth on which is embedded the exact image of Jesus' face, disfigured by wounds and blood and dust and spittle.
We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Consider how the holy woman Veronica, seeing Jesus so afflicted and his face bathed in sweat and blood, presented him with the towel with which he wiped his adorable face, leaving on it the impression of his holy countenance. Amen. Alas, my soul also was once beautiful, but I have disfigured it since by my sins. Thou alone, my Redeemer, canst restore it to its former beauty.
When Marcus, the centurion, saw a woman struggling through the crowd, he did not recognize her because of the veil about her head. But when she took it off, he saw it was Veronica, his wife, and he ordered her not to come to Jesus. But she heeded him not, and she fell on her knees in Jesus' path. And when he reached her, she held up the veil so that he could use it as a towel to wipe the blood and dirt from his eyes and face, for he had great trouble in seeing. When Marcus saw her intent, he was angered, for he remembered the veil, and it galled him to see it regarded as nothing more than a towel.
No, no, old woman, I don't like that veil.
The Roman centurion is hard to please.
I want a suitable present for a woman.
Ah, your lover, perhaps.
No, my wife. She is beautiful, and the gift must be beautiful.
Forgive me, soldier. Most of the men who buy from me are not thinking
now
of...
How much is that one?
This?
No, the second one to the right of it.
Ah, what taste, what judgment you have. I must confess you fooled me.
Well, what do you mean by that?
When I see you coming along looking in the shops, I say to myself, ah, here's a soldier. He knows nothing about value. I'll get rid of slow-selling cloth. How was I to know you had such fine taste?
How much for the veil?
Only a discerning man would have selected that veil out of the many I have.
Oh, come, come, woman. I haven't all day. How much?
Only a sharp eye could have looked over my stock and found the most exquisite, expensive veil in the shop. Ah, but I hesitate to take it down. Perhaps it's too much for your pocketbook.
Let me be the judge of that. How much?
30 denarii.
30 denarii?
As I thought, it's too expensive, even for a beautiful wife. Here is one. Very fine quality for only 10 denarii. And this one, it has a slight flaw. I could let you have it for 8. The flaw's at the corner and no one would ever notice.
I'm not in the habit of buying damaged cloth for my wife.
Of course. Please forgive me. Let me look about. I'm sure I have something to suit your purse.
Let me see the veil, the one for 30 denarii.
Here.
What makes this cost so much more than the others? It's plain white, no decoration.
It's from India. The finest, softest cloth, made by the women who spend most of their time weaving cloth for the priests.
How do you get this kind of merchandise?
3 times a year I go to Damascus to buy goods for my shop. Cheaper goods for the most part. But now and then I find something exceptional for the few rich patrons I have.
From India, you say?
Yes. That's one reason it's expensive. The transportation runs high. Then, of course, I have to charge for my trips to and from Damascus. You may be sure that when your wife puts on this veil, few, if any other woman, will have one like it. And I'm sure your wife is a person of taste, like yourself.
Certainly.
And she does not like then to wear something every other woman would be wearing. Ah, feel the texture.
It's very soft. Still, I don't see why it sells for so much more than those with decorations.
Ah, so many of my customers make that mistake. What's plain has to be without flaw. With decorations, they can be hidden. But since this is beyond your reach, let me look for something cheaper for your wife. What's her name, by the way?
Veronica.
What a lovely name. Have you been married long?
Only 5 years.
Have you children?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
My wife is not well. She's been ill for a long time.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Then you must take time and find something special for her. Something that will make her realize what a considerate husband she has.
I'll take this veil.
Oh, good, good. It's the only one of its kind, and I'm so glad you've taken it. For you, I'll put it in a special container. Here you are. Oh, that will be 30 denarii and 5 shekels. The temple tax. Thank you. Thank you 1,000 times. And may God's blessing go with you to your beautiful wife. Abner, I just sold the white veil. Open the chest and get another. 30 denarii, Abner, for a veil worth 10.
Veronica?
Marcus, in the garden.
Veronica. Oh, it's good to be home again.
Oh, how I've missed you. You must be tired. But I really didn't expect you until tomorrow.
Well, I came from Tarsus to Joppa by ship, then rode through the night to get here.
Oh, Marcus, you did this for me.
Well, I don't report to pilot until tomorrow. I rode so we could have a free day all to ourselves.
Well, then I'll not scold you for arriving covered with dust. I'll have the servants prepare a bath and an early supper.
Now, later, later, Veronica. Tell me, how have you been?
Oh, just the same, Marcus.
You look stronger.
This is one of my good days. I even took a walk and visited some of the shops.
Ah, good. I'm glad when you move about.
3 whole hours today. Then I got a bit tired and came home and rested here.
Did you have the doctor, as I told you?
Almost daily.
What does he say?
Oh, the same. I must get plenty of rest and not overtax myself. But no more about my health. How was your trip?
Routine, Veronica. We rounded up the leaders of the revolt and executed them.
By crucifixion?
Yes.
It's a terrible way for a man to die. I wish you didn't have to take part in it.
Well, it is very unpleasant, Veronica, but it's very effective in stopping others from trying to revolt. I left the cohort in charge of Valerius and hurried home. The pilot wants me on hand for the Jewish Passover.
The servants tell me Jesus is here.
Oh. Then Pilate will need me. There's no telling what'll happen when he comes to the city. Veronica, close your eyes.
Closed. You brought me a present?
Mm-hmm. From Tarsus. I had a whole day waiting for the ship to sail, and I visited the shop.
Oh, what is it? Can I look?
Here, feel it.
Oh, it's cloth. Oh, how soft.
Now you can look.
A veil. Oh, Marcus, it's beautiful. Where did you find it?
An old woman's shop in Tarsus. It came from India.
India? Are you sure? I mean, you shouldn't have been so extravagant.
But you do like it.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I'll wear it whenever I go out. Thank you, Marcus.
Oh, I do hope life wasn't too lonely for you while I was away.
Well, our friends have been kind and called often to ask how I was, about you, and to leave fruit and presents. I read a lot and slept. And I did a lot of thinking.
Oh? Thinking about what?
Marcus, remember the servant girl we had, Hester?
Yes, the one you liked so much but suddenly disappeared one day. Why, what about her?
She visited me one day.
She wants to come back to us? I wouldn't risk it, Veronica.
No, she doesn't want to come back.
Well, what did she want?
She said she knew someone who could help me.
A new doctor?
No. She told me why she left so suddenly. You recall she didn't even ask for her wages. She left us to follow this man called Jesus from Nazareth.
Indeed.
She told me Jesus has cured many people of all kinds.
Now, Veronica, I've heard these stories, too. Now, surely you're not telling me that you want to try him.
Oh, Marcus, now please listen and let me finish.
Very well, then.
Some months ago, Jesus came to Capernaum. And Hester was there, and she saw this actually happened, so it's not just hearsay.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, what happened?
There was a leader of the synagogue who came to Jesus and asked him to come and save his young daughter who was dying.
Are you going to tell me he cured her?
No, Marcus. Jesus was on his way, but suddenly he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Finally, a woman came forward and confessed that she had touched the tassel of his cloak.
So? Now, what's the point of all this?
The woman said she thought if she could but touch him, she would be cured. And Jesus said to her, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace, and be thou healed of thy affliction."
Oh, Veronica, you can't put any faith in this kind of cure.
Marcus, that woman was suffering from a hemorrhage for over 12 years, the same as I. Hester saw her about a week ago, and she's entirely well.
Most likely she wasn't ill to start with.
Hester talked to women who knew her for years, and they all said the same. The woman did suffer the illness. Marcus, I'd like to go to Jesus and ask him to cure me.
No, Veronica, it's impossible.
But why shouldn't I try? This woman had gone to all the doctors, and they could do nothing for her.
But we have nothing to do with Jesus. We're not of his religion. Even if he can cure, which I doubt, he wouldn't do anything for a Roman. He, like the other Jews, hates us.
But how many prayers, how many sacrifices have we made to Jupiter without relief? How many doctors have we tried? What harm will it do to ask Jesus?
Oh, I wish to heaven Hester hadn't told you about this cure.
But why? Surely you don't want a sick wife always about?
Veronica, you put me in a very difficult position. Now, how can I, loyal to Rome and our gods, tell you to go to this man? Now Hester has aroused your hopes, and if I refuse you, you'll always feel that I stood in the way of your cure.
Oh, no, no, Marcus. I love you. But I want to be strong and well for your sake. Marcus, I'm afraid if I don't get well, you'll tire of me. No man can put up with a sick wife forever.
Beloved, never have such fears. You'll always be the only one in my thoughts and in my heart.
But I do worry about it. I can't help it. And now that Jesus is in Jerusalem...
Not that I have any faith in the man, but... Well, if there were only some way you could go secretly to him. But as the wife of a Roman centurion, don't you see, Veronica? It would be the end of my career. I'd be held responsible for your act.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking only of myself. Pilate would think you'd betrayed Rome.
Why, I could explain to him. I could tell him I permitted it because of the stories told about Jesus' cures and gave way to convince you that there was no truth to them.
Then you have no faith in him?
None whatever. But Pilate is spied upon by Herod and the Jews. Once the report got back to Rome, Caesar would hold Pilate to account for our actions, and he'd have to send me back to Rome.
Yes. Yes, I can see that now.
My hands are tied. Unless I want to forget all about my career.
Oh, no, no. I couldn't ask you to do that. So, if you can put up with me as I am, we'll go on, and I'll do my best to make you happy.
You have brought me much happiness.
But you've missed not having children.
Yes, I admit it. But after the first couple of years, I was resigned to it. Planned my life accordingly.
Oh, if there were only some way I could hide myself in a crowd and reach out and touch him as did the woman at Capernaum.
What? Veronica, do you have that much faith in the man?
Yes. I have that much faith in him. Oh, I'm sorry, Marcus. I thought.
Oh, stay, Veronica. The messenger's leaving. Tell Pilate I'll be on hand at the appointed hour.
You look so troubled. Is there anything wrong?
No, no, just something unexpected's come up.
You're not going on duty tonight.
Yes, I must be at the Antonia 2 hours from now.
One of those secret missions wives don't ask about?
No, not exactly. I'm to take a detail of men and accompany the temple guards to preserve order in case it's necessary.
You're sure it's not dangerous?
No, no, no. Inconvenient, that's all.
Marcus, I've known you too long not to know.
No, really, there's little danger involved.
Yet there's something you don't want me to know.
Veronica, the high priest plans to arrest Jesus tonight.
Arrest Jesus? But why?
Oh, it seems he's violated one or more of their endless religious laws.
But why must the Roman soldiers go along?
Well, Jesus has a large following. It would be very easy to start a riot. Even a revolt.
What can they do to Jesus?
Well, that depends on how serious the charge is. With anything deserving the death penalty, they'd have to get permission from the procurator to carry it out. I doubt if it's anything that serious. Most likely some religious squabble about what they must eat and when, or whether they can lift a finger on their blessed Sabbath.
I wish you didn't have to go. I'm so on edge tonight.
You've been talking to Hester again?
Oh, just for a few minutes this afternoon.
No, I think it'd be better if you didn't see her.
Well, after all, Marcus, you're not home much. I do get lonely, and she's lively and full of news.
About the cures Jesus makes?
Yes, among other things.
You still have hopes of some miraculous cure?
Yes. Oh, I know. I promised to never mention it again. I've tried not to think of it, but, Marcus, there have been so many, many reports. They can't all be lies. There must be something to it. There has to be.
Veronica, don't you see? It's your intense desire to be well that makes you believe this man can cure you. You've reached the point where you're clutching at straws.
Oh, perhaps I am. Marcus, I'm sorry. When you're going off to duty, I shouldn't make you anxious about me.
No, I've thought about this a good deal. As long as this man lives, you'll regret you didn't ask him to cure you.
But I told you I'd try to...
I know you'll try to forget all about it, but you won't. Nor shall I. There'll always be a lingering doubt and recrimination that had you gone, you would have been cured. I wish we'd never heard of this man and his powers. Without ever knowing the man, I've come to hate him.
Please, Marcus, don't say that. It's so unlike you.
Isn't that the proof when I say things against my nature?
Please, Marcus. Go to your post. I'll go to bed and try to sleep.
Now, this has to be settled once and for all.
Settled? I didn't know we were quarreling about something that had to be settled.
Veronica, I want you to go to Jesus and ask him to cure you.
Marcus, you know I can't do that when your career...
It can be arranged. When Jesus goes back, you take Hester and go with him. I'll tell everyone I've sent you to the mountains to escape the heat. At some isolated spot, go to Jesus in disguise of a servant and ask for a cure.
Marcus, I'd never forgive myself if anything happened to you because of me.
And I would never forgive myself if there were one chance in 10,000 to make you well. And I refuse to let you take it.
The garden's not far ahead.
He'd better be here.
But I told you he would either be at the house where he ate the Passover feast or at the Garden of Gethsemane. The feast was ended sooner than I expected.
How do you know so much about his habits?
That's my business.
Oh, I see. How much?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
How much do they pay you for informing?
I didn't inform. I rendered the nation a service.
So Brutus spoke when he stabbed Caesar.
Isn't it better one man die rather than the nation perish?
At first thought it would seem so. Then again it depends on who the man is and what the nation is.
But how can one man be right and the entire nation wrong?
Quiet. The garden's just ahead. I'll get 10 of my men and go on ahead. I'll move quietly. How many men are there with Jesus?
12. I mean 11 now.
Well, it's dark. How'll we know one from the other?
Whomever I kiss, that is he. Lay hold of him.
Very well. All right, spread out a hand length apart and follow this man. What's your name?
Judas. Judas Iscariot.
Men, follow Judas. As soon as he kisses the leader, move in quickly and seize him. If the others resist, use your swords. As soon as I give the signal, the rest of you will come on the run. All right, let us go. Stand fast. No one will move.
Hail, Rabbi.
Seize that man! Never mind the others. We have the leader. Bind him and turn him over to the temple guards.
Hester. Hester, what's happened? So stop crying and tell me.
Last night they arrested Jesus.
Yes, I know that. But what's happening now? Why was there so much shouting?
Hasn't your husband told you?
Marcus hasn't been home since last night. No one's come to me with a message. I don't know where he is, do you?
Jesus has been condemned to die on the cross. Your husband is carrying out the execution orders.
Oh, no. I can't believe it. He wouldn't.
Pilate ordered it. He has to obey.
When did it happen? Where is Jesus now?
At the Praetorium. They put the cross on his back and will start for Golgotha. All his followers fled and he's alone.
Hester, help me. I will go to him.
You will go to him?
Yes. Will you help me?
Yes.
Hand me that veil.
Yes, it's best you cover your face. Your husband will be displeased should he see you.
Come. Let's waste no more time.
The two women made their way from the house along the narrow streets. Hester supported her former mistress for a while, but soon she was running to keep up with her. And even in her sorrow, Hester wondered at the quick, firm stride of the invalid. Soon they reached the street and the crowds about Jesus. And they could hear a man calling out that everyone should bear witness that he helped Jesus carry the cross against his will.
Let me through, please. Please make way. Stand aside. A lady walks through. You can't go any further. The soldier.
Let go of my arm. I'm going to him.
But your husband's there, and he'll
look at him.
He's trying to carry the weight, but he's blinded by blood and grime.
Give me something to cleanse his face.
I've nothing.
The veil. I use that.
Veronica, go back.
Don't try to stop me.
Veronica, do you expect him to cure you before this crowd?
I didn't come here for that, but to help him.
And as Jesus came toward her with groping hands, she held out her veil to him, and he took it and wiped the blood from his eyes and beard so that his face was clean again. And he showed her by his eyes that he was grateful to her. Simon the Cyrene looked upon the blood-stained cloth and was ashamed that he had cried out he did not wish to help Jesus carry his cross. Now that Jesus could see, the soldiers prodded him with their spears, and he lurched forward toward Golgotha.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.